Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
This is The Final Word, Australia, South Africa, Women's Test Daily from the WACA. Not that we're at the WACA, but Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan watching on from a distance today. Couldn't be there. Probably best that we weren't, because it was 43 degrees and it didn't look like a whole lot of fun for even for the people watching on, let alone the ones playing. But the show's brought to you by Cbus Super, by the way. You, Bharat, are going to tell me all about the day's play in the space of 30 seconds.
Well, a lot happened, so I will struggle to put it in 30 seconds, but here we go. Darcy Brown strikes with the new ball, two back-to-back wickets, and then Annabelle Sutherland runs through the middle order. Darcy Brown returns, takes five wickets. South Africa blown away for 76. Mainly because of a last wicket partnership, but then Australia start poorly, 3 for 12, they're in all sorts of trouble. Alisa Healy plays probably her best test innings, but falls one short of 100, falls for 99. Beth Mooney does what she does, but also falls short 20 odd runs of 100. Australia are 175 ahead, all that in just today's play.
There we go. That was pretty much everything, and that felt like it just about 30 seconds. I like it. It was a Beth Mooney digging Australia out of trouble day again. Like, how many times can she do that job? It was a remarkable story with Healy at the end that we'll come to probably in about 10 minutes time, and maybe some of that in the Hall of Fame as well. But let's start at the beginning. A very good place to start. It was, I mean, I felt for South Africa today, you've got this South African women's team. They played a test against England, was it last year, about a year ago. They played, the one before that was in 2014. Pretty sure Marizane Kapp's the only remaining player from that 2014 test match, although Dana van Niekerk might come back and play again for the South African national team. But they've played 13 test matches in total, dating back to 1960. At 1960 for those 13 games. And there's no Red Bull domestic cricket in South Africa, obviously, because there isn't anywhere else either. To come in to this situation and be plonked into a test and be expected to perform, this has always been the dilemma with women's test cricket, that if it's not adequately supported before you play the test matches, then how can you expect players to be up to the standard once they do play test cricket? And they just looked overawed today, South Africa. They lost the toss, rather. They got asked to bat first. Initially I thought that might have been in their best interest, because it was so hot today and it was scheduled to be, well, the forecast is that it would be cooler on day two. So the thought was, if you can bat through day one and make the other team bowl all day, and then you get to bowl when it's 29 instead of 43, well, then that'll be in your best interest. But they fell apart. They were pretty much gone by lunch, eight down by the lunch break. And there was some good bowling from Australia, but it wasn't absolutely unplayable bowling. It just looked like there were a lot of loose shots outside off stump. Everybody was feeding the cordon, and the South Africans looked like a team who were overwhelmed by the occasion.
Overwhelmed, and also like a team who were trying to learn on the job, right? The red ball was shiny, and it was swinging around quite a bit to start with. And at many levels, you felt like they were stuck in between... we'll play what we know, or we'll play the way we know to play. Oh, but then, oh, this is test cricket. Oh, but this is played over 4 days. We need to play it differently. And I thought Chloe Tryon's innings kind of summed it up. I mean, it's not like she hung around for too long, but generally we've seen when she's out there, she plays her shots, but she was around for 17 balls. And in that space, she saw a lot of wickets fall at the other end as well. And it's only after, what, they were seven down or so, or six down, she says, oh, I need to play some shots. And she didn't commit to that drive, did she? And, you know, that kind of summed up South Africa for me. But even before we got here, I don't know whether even Australia thought the pitch would favor the fast bowlers as much as it did. You know, not only... Has the stats for this season at the WACA supported spinners. Corey Rochicelli obviously has been leading the wicket takers chart, the wicket taking chart for the Western Australia in the Shield. But Australia brought back Sophie Molyneux, and they picked three spinners, and they didn't even have to go to spin, did they? Like, so it was just all seam, and the ball was jagging around. Like you said, there was some really good bowling. Darcy Brown was quick, should have had a wicket, and then does get the wicket in her first over, and then gets another one soon after. Annabelle Sutherland was hooping it around. Lee Sperry was doing the same. So even Kim Garth, for that matter. So I think,
any of them.
All of them, right? Like, yeah. And so maybe that, so even that didn't go according to prediction, right? Like, so maybe South Africa or even Australia would have felt, okay, put them in, but we have the bowling depth. And, you know, I think one of them spoke during the break, and that's exactly what they said. I think one of their coaches spoke and said, we just backed our depth to get the job done. And I guess in a 4-day test as well, if you want to force a result, it's easier to do it this way, right? Put the opposition in, the inexperienced team in, bowl them out the way Australia have, and then you can dictate terms like Australia have done.
Yeah, absolutely. Dictating terms by the time they got to stumps, although it didn't look like that way for a while. To go through the early stuff, this was quite interesting. So Beth Mooney drops a catch off Annika Bosch, and then Elisa Healy takes one a couple of balls later. Then Elisa Healy drops a catch off Laura Wolvart, and then Beth Mooney takes Wolvart the very next ball, but it's in the next over. So poor Kim Garth, who bowled beautifully off the top, had the ball hooping away and then was getting to land on the seam and angle back in, had one go just over the stumps. She gets the catch dropped that Darcy Brown picks up the first ball of the next over. And Darcy Brown has a catch dropped and then takes a wicket herself a couple of balls later. So Darcy Brown cleans up both of them. Tasman Britt's batted for a long time with Sunil Lees, faced 48 balls but only made five. And then Annabelle Sutherland comes on and she gets a vicious one to cut back in. Very good review from the Australians too, because it hit her just in line with the off stump. I think the umpire maybe thought outside the line and maybe a bit high, but it was going on to hit the top of middle. The review works. Very next ball, Sutherland goes through Delmi Tucker, who just poked fairly half-heartedly at one and edged it back onto her stumps. And then Sunil Lees, who was the only batter who looked comfortable out there, made 26, pushed the ball around, just picked up singles, only hit one boundary, but she makes 26, and then she's out to a bad shot, having a bigger drive than necessary outside off stump and edging it away for Sutherland's third. We sort of buried the lead as well that Marizane Kapp didn't play. She apparently fell sick yesterday, the day before the game, and was so ill that they were trying to figure out whether she was well enough to travel home to be sent back to South Africa. So we don't know exactly what the issue is with her, but she must have been very sick to be willing to be forced into missing a test match. So that's why Delmi Tucker was playing in the middle order. And then Talia McGrath comes on and doesn't actually bowl that well, but suddenly she's got 2 for 4. She gets Nadine de Klerk cutting one into the cordon, and Sinello Jafta, the keeper, gets a little feather on the toe of the bat, which she didn't even know that she hit. She reviewed it after she was given out. out, but she had hit it. And they were both rank short wide balls from McGrath in between all the ones going down the leg side. And despite bowling that way, suddenly she's got 2 wickets for 4 runs off the first 3 or 4 overs that she bowled. So 7 for 50 at that point. And then, like you said, Chloe Tryon going, okay, well, I might as well start trying to smash a few. And the first one she goes after, she drilled it. It was hard and flat, but straight at Perry at mid off. So 8 down at lunch. They come back after lunch. Malaba falls in the first over after lunch, hits 1-4 down the ground and then edges one into the cordon. And then, yeah, it was 19 runs added for the last wicket. There's a little Shamar Joseph flurry between Halubi on debut, batting with Masabata Class, who whacked a few and was the only player aside from Sunil Lees to get into double figures. So all out for 76, 9 single figure scores. And it's their lowest ever bowled out score. I mean, South African women, like I said, they haven't played a lot of test matches, but they've been bowled out in 18 of their test innings, and this was the lowest score they've ever made. So it was pretty dire stuff. And I mean, really, the surprise was that they came back and Class bowled so well off the top of the Australian innings and picked up 3 wickets for almost nothing.
And, you know, when Class started her spell, the first ball was down. Phoebe Litchfield's pads went away. Did it go for four? No, I don't think it went for four. It
just A couple of leg byes.
But you could see her reaction right after that ball. She wasn't so confident with that red ball. You could just see that she wasn't sure how much it was going to move. And then what she produced after that was great. And it's a great story as well. I mean, we had to wait a long time for this opportunity. You know, she's a mother as well. And everything she's done, and it almost feels like she's got the second wind in her career. She really did set the cat amongst the pigeons for Australia. And it was classy bowling as well, right? Classy new ball bowling, getting Perry just swing, like driving outside, yeah, with the outswinger. And then McGrath the same way as well. So at 3 for 12, yeah, they seemed in all sorts. But even before then, going back to the South African innings, at 8 for 55, you thought they might get bowled out in one session, right? So one more wicket and they might have extended the lunch session, which doesn't happen very often in Test cricket. But yeah, I mean, like we've seen throughout this home summer with the men's Test, the 10th wicket partnership for the opposition always seems to work. It did for Pakistan. It did for West Indies for sure. And another one that took South Africa from a pitiable state to, well, still a pitiable state, but at least made sure that they didn't get bowled out in one session. But at 3 for 12, you're like, ooh, two more wickets. But you even before Healy and Mooney started her partnership, you still were aware of the depth of Australia, right? That's why every time you see them play Test cricket, you're like, oh, the batting lineup doesn't end. You have to go all the way down to Darcy Brown, and even she can throw her bat around. So you knew someone would bail them out. But like you said, it had to be Beth Mooney. It always is Beth Mooney.
Yeah, the Australian team, they're like the Hydra, right? You chop off a few heads and then a few other ones pop up in their place. But it was also a lack of discipline from the Australian batting. So, I mean, Litchfield runs one ball off the face of her bat through into a gap between gully and point. Risky sort of shot, managed to get it down just enough. I don't think it would have been catchable anyway. Picks up a boundary there and then gets a wide ball angled across her and almost on one knee sort of steers it with almost a horizontal bat into the cordon, like genuine slips catching practice kind of stuff, and gets caught. And then you've got Perry and McGrath driving at balls that they don't need to drive at, sort of attacking shots outside the off stump. So it was interesting that so when Mooney and Healy came together, and bear in mind Healy's been keeping previously, and then she's had to run in after about 5 overs to come into bat at number 5, which she wouldn't have been expecting. They come together and they said their conversation was put the cover drive away for a few overs, don't play any drives, and just wait it out. They only really waited for about 5 or 6 overs, though. Like, they just put their shots away for that 5 or 6 overs, had a look at it, waited until Class had finished a spell. And then it's when the bowling changes. So de Klerk comes on and then Annika Bosch comes on. And Mooney square drives her for 4. And that pretty much changes everything. Healy goes after them at that point. Hits a couple of boundaries there, including from de Klerk as well. Mooney hits another one, and then suddenly Healy gets 3 boundaries in and over from Bosch. They're both on about 20. They're looking great. And they're playing. It's very offside. It's cover drives, it's cuts, late cuts, anything that was pitched a bit short, which plenty was. And even when they bring Malaba on to bowl spin, she bowls too short and gets cut multiple times. They try bringing Class back, but she goes for a couple of boundaries. There was that period there, Barrett, either side of the tee break, 13 overs in a row, there was at least one boundary every over for 13 overs between those two. And by the time that streak finishes, Healy and Mooney are both high 40s. They both bring up their 50s just after that. And, you know, it felt like really it didn't matter what happened in the Australian innings from there. The game was in their control, even if things had fallen apart after that.
And that's when the drive fest starts, right? And again, it was the lack of experience or the inexperience of the South Africans coming through. We saw it with the bat, like you said. They felt a little overawed by the challenge of the swinging red ball. But with the ball, you need discipline, don't you? I mean, you need to kind of bowl dry overs. Even if, say, you're not getting that wicket after you've created a collapse early on or produced one. So, but yeah, those 13 overs really summed up why Test cricket is always challenged, regardless of whether it's men's or women's Test cricket. It's the big step up, right? Like you cannot, you speak to a batters who come through the ranks. From a batting perspective, they'll always speak about the frequency of loose balls just reducing from one level to the other. And like, you know, having to wait for a long time against quality attacks. So South Africans felt like you spoke about Tasman Brits in her innings, where she waited and waited and waited. And when she didn't get a boundary ball, she went looking for one and got out. Or she got the in-swinger, but a lot of the other batters got out that way, which didn't happen from the South African perspective. They were just easy pickings after a while. And that's how you build test innings, don't you? I mean, Beth Mooney's done it across all formats. That's what she does. But it was good to see Alisa Healy also get into the mix. She played a crucial hand in the Ashes last year at Trent Bridge. But this just felt like her at being at her best at in Test cricket anyway.
Yeah, she did. She wasn't having to fight for it. She played that kind of counter-attacking way that she does. She took them on. She played the pull shot. She was able to loft over mid-on and played those attacking kind of shots, you know, not in a cavalier kind of way, but just in a calculated sort of way. So she brings up her 50 off about 59 balls, I think it was. Mooney was off about 80 balls, you know, slightly slower because she'd had to grind out more at the start when wickets were falling at the other end. They put on 155 together before Mooney edges into the cordon. Nadine de Klerk gets the wicket, Mooney for 78. But then it's the Annabelle Sutherland show, and we saw her 100 in the Trent Bridge test, and she played some lovely shots, played that on drive down the ground that she played. The crossbat shots were strong. So she's 54 not out by the close. But it was interesting when Delmi Tucker came on to bowl. She's a sort of all-rounder, bowled some off spin, and she came on very late in the day, but bowled a few overs, and I just thought she looks difficult to deal with here. Like the ball was holding up a little bit. She got a couple to really turn, and I was just interested every time she had the ball in her hand. I thought, well, something might just be happening here, and indeed it is. It does. You know, Healy goes from 97 to 99 with a couple. And then she just gets a ball that dips on her a little, maybe gripped a bit, closes the bat face a bit early, pops up a leading edge, and Tucker takes a really good caught and bowled, having to tumble forward and across to her left to get there. Healy gone for 99 just before stumps. We'll come to some of that in the Hall of Fame in a second, but 251 for 5 is the Australian score. That lead is 175. But yeah, the Tucker intervention was interesting later in the day, given that Australia didn't need to use spin at all.
And kind of tells you that what everyone's been saying about that whack-a pitch is true. You're right. As soon as she came on and was bowling slower than the other spinner, the ball was gripping. It wasn't easy to, like, that. Suddenly even the well-set Australian batters were struggling to just time the ball. Or not struggling, but didn't look as comfortable timing the ball as they were against the other bowlers. And I think that's the nature of this whack-a pitch. And the weather as well. The sun had really pounded down on that pitch, on that surface throughout the day. Whatever little moisture would have been there would have evaporated long before we got to that stage. And again, like, if I'm sure we'll talk about the Healy finish or the Healy not scoring 100 in the Hall of Fame, but it was just a consolation for South Africa, because the game already is moved on so far away from them. I mean, based on how they went in the first innings, Australia could well just declare now and finish the game off in another session. I mean, that's not how Test cricket plays out most times, but that's the kind of position Australia are in right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they call it off by lunch tomorrow, for instance, if they're still batting at that point. All right, let's go to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
The final word, Hall of Fame, where we pick our most final word moments of the day. Now, players getting out for 99, people are always interested in this. The real burn of that for Healy, I think, will be the ball beforehand on 97, pulls it out to deep mid-wicket. It was Tasman Britz, wasn't it? It came running around the boundary rope, slid, had her foot perilously near the rope as she taps the ball back in. And they stopped and looked at it for about 60 seconds, went back and forth over the angles, the slow-mo and all the rest of it. And Healy was sort of laughing about it. And eventually they rule that she saved the ball and tapped it back in, and that it's only two runs, so Healy's on 99. A couple of balls later, she gives up the catch. But you'd almost, I would have thought, as a batter, I think you would rather them just say that's two runs straight away and not make you wait for that minute to just stand around waiting to see whether you've got 100 or not, because if the foot's touching the rope, it's a ton. And then it isn't, and you've got to recompose. And I just wonder whether that was the thing that shook her concentration enough that meant that the wicket fell. It almost would have been in her interest to not have them look for the extra couple of runs and just accept that as two and go on and hit the next ball.
It was a nothing shot as well that she got out to, right? Gets the leading edge where she doesn't get to the length of the ball, another ball gripping from the spinner, Taha, and then she closes the face of the bat a bit too early. And she wasn't even trying to force it through mid-wicket. And there was a boundary fielder or a fielder on the boundary, so she would have got the single, but she's just turning her wrist. And you're right. I mean, all it takes is that split second of concentration to just drop, right? And you could see her smiling. And she was very keen on the single of the next ball, pushed it into the covers, looked for a single, couldn't get it. And that's how these things work, don't they? And I mean, it is quite something that, you know, the first thing that I saw on social media is how both husband and wife now have the same highest test score, one short of 100.
Yep. They do, actually. And yeah, as they pointed out on commentary, it was nice that came up on Valentine's Day as well. Although it's actually one day later, but a bit of creative license being taken there. I liked the fact that Darcy Brown was kept on. She bowled a huge full toss way down the leg side that was called a no ball. So five no balls because it went to the fence. She bowls another one down the leg side that was perilously close. I mean, she could have been pulled out of the attack at that point. But they were nine down, South Africa, and she had four for. And so Healy could have taken her off at that stage, but Healy left her on, and it's the next over where she bowls a much better ball. Little wider on the crease, angles it in, gets through the number 11 and knocks over her leg stump and gets her five wicket haul. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that it was Beth Mooney in the heat again. I mean, we saw her with the ice collar in the WBBL final a few years ago, and she's one of the most pale, fair, complexioned kind of people who does not look built to be out in the blazing sun. So she was out there for most of the day batting when it was 43 degrees. And my last one is poor old Sophie Molyneux, who, you know, knee injury, out for a year, stress fractures, out for another couple of years, last played in 2021, comes back into the squad, somehow pushes Jess Jonathan out of the test team, which is no mean feat. Jess Jonathan also has a test match 99 to her name, as well as her bowling skills. So Molyneux, she's back, she's playing test cricket, and she doesn't even get a bowl in the first innings because the other team get Rochambeau'd for nothing at all.
Oh, there is an outside chance that she doesn't get to bat in this innings and doesn't get to bowl in the second innings. So it could be.
Thanks for coming.
I know, exactly. So that's where that's how this game is headed. I love the Mooney thing as well. I think Megan Schutz's comment on Channel 7, I think, where she said our responsibility is to make sure that she doesn't turn into a tomato. And she nearly did look like she was turning into a tomato every time the camera panned onto her. But yeah, it was a gamble to bowl first on a hot day like that. But again, I think it was a very calculated gamble, and it has paid off for Australia. I don't know what we can expect tomorrow. I mean, it looks like this game will just continue to speed through. A lot of power hitters left for Australia to come. Gardner's just walked out. We all know how quick Annabel Sutherland scores. So they could, like you said, battle lunch and set this game up for an early finish.
Yeah, 100 in the session by lunchtime, and see if they could have it done in a couple of days and not have to come back when it's 40 degrees on day three. All right. I think that is enough from us. The final word. Australia, South Africa, daily, the women's test from the WAC. The show is brought to you by Cbus Super. If you want to sort out your retirement, cbussuper.com.au. Check them out. Over 900,000 Australians have their super with Cbus. Past performance, not a reliable indicator of future performance. Jeff Lemon and Bharat Sundaresan will be back with you on day two. See you then. I ain't protected, brother. I ain't fenced in. My future questions, my current senses. That'd be the same. We've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty. Wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.